Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I'd like to just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, at this time of the service, and we're asking for your guidance through your word. Anoint us, dear God, with your power and your spirit, that we may be, Lord, a flaming fire, Lord, to bring your word this morning. We ask for your guidance in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. What I'd like to speak on this morning is the last sign. Last sign. I would encourage anyone that's here that didn't hear a sermon I preached last year, Watchman, What of the Night, to go listen to part three. In part three, Watchman, What of the Night, I went through and explained all the scriptures looking at the coming of Elijah and why we believe Brother Branham to be that forthcoming. And I showed it scripturally, so if you never heard that message, go and hear that message. Watch Fought of the Night Part 3 that I preached last year. Luke 17, chapter 20, Luke 17, verse 26. And it was, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man... Amen, you may be seated. Now we went through a Gentile age, where they built churches and built denominations and all these different things, and down through the over the last few ages, and there's nothing altogether wrong with building churches, but now we're in a time of the evening light. And there was to be a sign given, an end-time sign given to the people, the elect. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Sodom, or as it was in the days of Lot, and we see that the world is definitely in a Sodomite condition. Remember, in the days of Lot, two angels went down to get Lot out of Sodom. Lot represented the church, natural, and they went down to pull Lot out of Sodom. And if I can show you by the word, I don't want to turn to it this morning and take up too much time, but when you read that there in Genesis, you find that the men of the city came to Lot's house when they saw these two angels go in. They went in, they looked as men. And the men of the city came and knocked on Lot's door, and they said, bring those men out to us that we might know them. Of course, we know what the biblical meaning of know them means. And showing that Sodom was in a condition where homosexuality and these things and gay rights and all this stuff was prevalent in Sodom. And it got to a place where they here Lot represented church, they wanted to be accepted into the churches. And they're pushing for that today. To be able to be accepted into churches and you not be able to say one thing against them. I was thinking of this. We were talking about it yesterday, and I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, what would I do if they come in here? Well, I'd do what I did one time. Somebody reminded me one time somebody did come in here, and I preached on Sodom. And I guess I'd do the same thing. But that's the time we're living in. But there was Abraham. There was a sign that Abraham received while the two angels went down to pull Lot out. Abraham, the elect church, received a sign. And now we're living in the time where we can look back and see that sign has already been given. That last sign for the elect church has already been given. Brother Branham said when he was here, he said, now we're living in the days when Jesus is working in his church, producing and performing the very same things he did when he was here. And he said that was the last sign. And we know that the destruction of the world is not far off. The onset of the tribulation time is not that far off. We're witnessing the last days before the coming of the Lord. But remember, the church, spiritual, the bride, the elect group, they go up before the first bomb would hit, or before the first destruction of the earth, or whatever's going to happen during the tribulation, the elect church goes up first. So we won't be here to witness those things, thank God. Abraham, as we said, represented the elect church, and there was an angel that came to him just before the destruction of Sodom. And Noah received a sign, and Noah, not a one drop of rain fell until Noah went into the ark, and not one bit of fire fell from heaven until Lot was pulled out of Sodom. And now we've received that last sign, and I want to show you those things this morning by going through some things in the message. And I know that you older ones, you know all these things, you believe it already, but I just felt this on my heart to be an encouragement and show the younger ones just what we believe. What we believe about this, and what we see, and what we've seen in the ministry of Brother Branham that was different than any other ministry that had been in recent times. Now, read with me, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 9. I want to read a few verses of scripture here before we go on. Romans chapter 9, verse 25. As he saith also in OC, that's Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath hath left us seed, we would have been as Sodom and been likened to Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness hath obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The promise was to Abraham's seed. And the promise in the last day was to Abraham's spiritual seed, the elect church. And there, just as Abraham received a sign before the time of burning, this Gentile age has received its last sign before the coming of the burning that will happen on this earth. And what it was, there was three angels that came. And remember, just about 4 or 5 days before they come, Abraham's name was Abram. And Sarah's also received a name change just about 4 or 5 days before this. And then here comes three men walking. And one of the men says to Abraham, he says, Abraham, calls him by Abraham. Just been 5 days his name had been changed. He calls him Abraham, said, Where is your wife Sarah? And so he calls them by the names they had been changed to, showing who that one was. And he said, I'm coming to visit you with, I promised you, and I'm coming to visit you with that promise. So showing that it was the same one that Abraham had already been talking to, that he had already gave Abraham a promise, and now he says, I'm going to visit you with that promise. And then while he abode there with Abraham, and Brother Abraham said, look, it wasn't a spirit, it wasn't a theophany, he was in the body of a man. But Abraham called him Elohim. But he was in the body of a man. He sat there and he ate with Abraham. He drank milk with Abraham. And then he abode there with Abraham while the other two left and went down to Sodom. And then the one that stayed with Abraham said, I'll no longer keep this hid from you, Abraham. But he tells him that he's going to destroy Sodom. And then he stands there with his back to the door of the tent, asks us, Where's your wife, Sarah? Said, She's behind you in the tent. He says, I'm going to visit you about the time of life, and Sarah shall bring forth a son to you. And Sarah, being in the tent behind him, kind of laughed up her sleeve, sort of speak to herself, in other words, and said, Me, an old woman, have pleasure with my Lord, and he's old. They were past the time, Brother Barham said. They hadn't been husband and wife in that way for a long time. And she left, and then the one standing there with his back to the door tent said, Why did Sarah laugh? So he discerned the very thoughts of her heart. It wasn't that she said it out loud and he overheard it. She thought it. And he discerned her thoughts and said, Why did Sarah laugh? And there he stood, and that was the last sign that Abraham received before the coming of the promised son. And we were promised to receive a last sign before the coming of the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham said, why did Sarah laugh? There's his sign. There's the sign to the church, the call-out church. A man, human flesh, eating veal chops, cornbread, drinking milk. Did he do it? Was it God? See if it wasn't. Look in your Bible. Didn't it show he called him Elohim, the self-existing one? Elohim in human flesh. What's it a sign of? Elohim back in the bride. Human flesh again in the last days before the same thing. There's your sign for the last days. Now I want to read you some things from the message, from different messages, that during the discernment, and of course you can see some of these things when you watch the films on Brother Branham. You can see when he was there and preached the message, Deep Call to the Deep, and they filmed that. And then you see when he was at Chicago, during the Chicago campaigns, when they filmed that, and they called that the 20th Century Prophet. But throughout the sermons, throughout the messages, at the end after he preached, you can find countless of times where the discernment worked. And I want to read some of these things to show you that this wasn't just something ordinary. This was something different than what the church had been going on in the church. The church had received the gifts. And there was speaking in tongues, and there was prophecies, and there was all these things. But this was different. This was a sign. This particular message, Brother Adam says, this little lady sitting here with the little white thing on her hat, have you got a prayer card? Are you sick? Are we strangers to one another? God knows us both. There's a light over the woman. If you see it circling right above her, she was praying. Is that right? You know you have not a chance to come up here, but you were praying because I see just below that is a dark shadow. It's death. The woman's shadowed to death. She has cancer. You believe God can heal you? Cancer of the breast. And I see a doctor looking at it. He tells you that he's going to try to operate. And you're up for an operation. I see you walk from the platform to another. You're a preacher. You're a woman preacher. That's thus saith the Lord. Is that right, lady? And what he said, was that right? Stand on your feet if that's right. Do you believe? Can you discern that that's the same Jesus that touched the woman, touched his garment? Not me, but him. I don't know the woman. She don't know me. God knows us both. God bless you, sister. Then he says, I see a lady in a vision. She's praying. She's a young woman. She's sitting right here. Something about a baby. No, she's had a baby. Oh, it's a miscarriage. That's what it's been. A dead baby. She's from Kentucky. Her name is Martin. Where are you, Miss Martin? Yeah, with a yellow dress. That's true, isn't it, lady? Stand to your feet. I don't know the woman, but God knows her. There she is. Bless the name of the Lord. Right behind her sits a lady. She's got hemorrhoids. She's got trouble on her right side. Kind of heavy-set woman with the black-looking dress on. You got a prayer card, lady? You don't have. You don't need it. You believe that? You have faith to touch something. You never touched me. You touched him. All right? Then raise up your hand with your handkerchief in it and accept your healing and go home and be well in the name of Jesus. Then in the message, discerning the body of the Lord, he said, looky here, there sits a little lady back there with a checkered-looking dress on. She's got her head bowed. She's praying for her father. He's got liver trouble. You believe the Lord healed him, sister? You believe it? Then you can have it. Lady, you were awful kind to her to tell her that it was her. The reason you said that is because the Holy Spirit moved right over you, too. That's right. You have a prayer. Do you have a prayer card? You don't. You don't need one. You're praying for a mother. You're thinking on bringing her to church tomorrow night. Don't have to do it. Lay your hands on her and call the name of the Lord Jesus. She'll get well if you believe it. I challenge your faith. Who else has not a prayer card and wants to believe? You sitting there in front, you believe me to be God's prophet? A prophet is a messenger to an age. You believe I have God's message? You do. I don't know you, but God knows you. If God will tell me your troubles, will you accept it as your healing? Believe that it's his. You can discern then. If your spirit can touch him now while I'm talking to you, then you'll accept the healing, will you? It's your chest, scar tissue. Besides that, you're a preacher. That's right. That's it. Thus saith the Lord, believe God. Then he says, another message, I want to turn my back to the audience. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost will prove what I've said tonight, the closing of this message, the same signs that Jesus said was given to Sodom would be given to this generation. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Then you discern what spirit's here. I'm going to turn my back, see if he's the same angel, see if it's the same God that promised when he had his back turned to the tent. Pray, some of you, that the Lord send his angel and prove that Sodom, the end, was at hand. Oh, Lord God, send your angel tonight. Give the same discernment, cause it's a promise of your son to let it be so. Woman stands before me. She's suffering with the cataract in the head. She's back in this direction, for I feel her pulling her faith. Her name is Miss Wiley. Where's she at? Let's see. Back here somewhere, whatever. Was that true, lady? All right, go home and be well. Have faith in God. Some of the rest of you pray somewhere. Let it be known, O Lord, thou art God. There's a woman standing before me that's praying back in the audience. She has complications. She's wearing a red and white checkered dress. Her name is Miss Lake. Where are you at, Miss Lake? Stand on your feet. God bless you. Go home and be well. Your faith is saved. You see, he's doing this with his back turned to the audience. With his back turned to the audience, standing there saying, you're sitting back there, you got a red and white checkered dress on. He couldn't see that, but there was somebody that could see that. And it was the angel of the Lord that was standing there with him, and he was just saying what the angel had to say. And it was showing that same sign that came to Abraham, the elect church. That's the same Jesus. It's the same angel. Have you got discernment to discern the Lord's body? You believe I'm telling you the truth? You believe that Christ has given witness of it? You believe that? Raise your hands. How many believes that are in here that will shake their hands like this? Then you believe me as God's prophet. Don't you doubt one bit. Take those hands you're waving towards God and lay some on somebody next to you, and you'll see the glory of God. That's all he can do. Can you discern the Lord's body? Can you discern that's his spirit here? These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life, make Satan turn loose every believer in here. They've got their hands laid on one another. They are believers. They're having faith in God that they believe that you'll do it. Oh, Lord. Your words cannot fail no more than your promises. And your promises was if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, Satan, you foul demon of oppression that's been beating these people down to the dust, I adjure thee by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that you turn them loose. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Now lay your hands on one another and pray the prayer of faith. And when you feel the Spirit of God, discern that it's the Lord's promise to you. Everyone that can feel the Lord's power is moving in you. Stand to your feet, accept your healing. I command you in the name of Jesus, every one of you believers, rise to your feet, accept Jesus as your personal healer. Come up, you and those wheelchairs and cots and whatever it is, rise up, believe God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, be healed. They raised up the cots and wheelchairs, everything's all right, Brother Sullivan. Here's a mess of former and latter rain. I could stand here and preach. You've heard that all along. But the Bible said that in the last days, right at this time, before the coming of the Lord, there be a spirit come out on the earth veiled in human flesh, man, like it was in Sodom, and would be able to discern the thoughts of the mind like that angel did there as it was in the days of Sodom. How many understands that? Just raise up your hands that you caught it. That's exactly who was that. That was Christ in the man. Now, he was a man. He wasn't a theophany. He wasn't a myth. He was a man. He eat flesh and drank milk and eat bread. Now, I'm not the man, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ is here. And whoever he chose to be one, he can work through. He that will overcome himself, overcome his own thoughts, overcome the world, overcome all the things, then I give him the morning star to reflect the light. What light? The light of the approaching sun. Then he says, improving his word. Preaching in Los Angeles, California, April the 26th, 1965. He said, remember, Abraham and his group never received one more sign from God until the promised son arrived. How many knows that's true? That sign of discernment, the royal seed of Abraham, let me hear you. Let me tell you, thus saith the Lord, you're receiving your last sign. That's according to the scriptures and the revelation of God that's in my heart and speaks the truth. I trust that you will believe it to be truth. There hasn't been another man since then that God's worked through like this. Brother Jewel Forney, you all know him, he asked Brother Humes, Brother Tim Humes' father, he asked him, he said, because Brother Humes had been in the meetings and saw Brother Branham and that, and he says, there were so many others out there trying this and doing that and having this kind of sign and having that kind of sign and having this in their hand and that and the other, and he says, what made it different about when you saw Brother Branham? He said he never missed. Every time what he said was exactly true. He said some of them other guys was hit and miss. They were guessing. You know, somebody out there's got back trouble. Boy, I could say that in here this morning. You know, somebody out there's got diabetes. I could say that this morning in here. You know, but Brother Branham, that wasn't how it went. He would call people out, tell them their name, tell them where they were from, tell them things he saw. He says, one woman, he says, I see someone standing by the bed. I see you kneeling by the bed. I see a doctor speaking. I see a doctor standing and these things. And he says this, but you believe that. And it's just like he moves from the past to the present to the future. And he's standing in a realm where the past, the present, the future is all melded into one, where he can just, and he's reading the thoughts of the people's hearts. They're sitting back there and they're praying to themselves and the servants, Lord, have him speak to me. And they're believing that if he'll speak to them, God will heal them. And he'll say, I feel the Holy Spirit move over here. You don't have a prayer card, do you? And then he'll tell them what's wrong with them and say, you were praying that God would have me call you out. But then when he stood there with his back to the audience, and he'd done this more than one time, and began to discern the thoughts of the people's hearts that were standing behind him, and then he turns around and says, receive your last sign. That's the last sign that was going to be given to the elect bride. And we've received that sign. Brother Bram's not here no longer. But the thing about it is, the sign is eternal. The sign has already been given. Now we're just waiting for the coming of the Lord. But that's why we believe and follow the message of Brother Branham. We're not following a man, but we're following his message. And that's why we believe it. It's because God came down and proved himself to be the same Jesus Christ, the same today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why we look to his message and to his ministry. We don't got nothing else to preach. We could preach a good help you along sermon, like they do. And I've heard some of the sermons they preach out in some of the other churches that don't have this end time truth. And they preach them a little bit of psychology. Is what they do, something to give them, if you do this and you do that, you'll be good and you'll be all right, And they preach a socialized gospel. And you can see it's a socialized gospel because you look at the way the people dress. Look at the way the people dress that come into the church. Friends, look, there was a time back in the Pentecostal churches and then the holiness, what we called holiness churches, women didn't wear pants. But now they come into the churches wearing pants. in the churches that claim and still claim to be holiness churches. And they'll come in wearing pants. They'll come in wearing all these things, hair all bobbed off and everything, you know, have a haircut like a man. And that ain't all in the social class. Then they have these men walking around in suits that looks like it's about two sizes too small. You know, it's a style. It was a style of the world there for a little while to have the sleeves look like they was too short. To have have high water pants, or something that we wouldn't have dared wore when I was a kid. All these things, and there's churches, you know, that they got coffee shops in them. You can come in, sit down, and have a cup of coffee. Well, I guess we could set up a coffee pot downstairs. But, you know, we're not trying. They're trying to build numbers. Now, I would like to see an increase in the church. It would be encouraging because you would see other people coming, being interested in serving God and giving their lives to God. That's always encouraging. But I'm not trying to preach a gospel to build up numbers. I'm not trying to have things to see, you know, try to increase membership just for the sake of increasing membership. You understand what I'm saying? We always welcome more people. But there's churches out there, they do things with the intent to try to draw bigger memberships. Why do they want bigger memberships? More money. That's right, Brooke. That's why they want bigger memberships. We're not after that. We're after the seed of God. Amen? And that's why it's encouraging when you see others come in and accept the Lord and let God change their lives. We've already received the last sign, friends. We're in the last days. It's becoming more and more and more Sodom-like out there in the world. They passed in Canada where, you know, you can't say anything against different things and people and the way they are and things because that's called hate, you know, hate preaching or whatever. And so they already passed that all throughout Canada, and it's starting to go state by state here in the United States. It starts out there on the West Coast. And they're trying to get it passed where it would be against the law for me to preach what I just preached today. To say something about the Sodomite condition and about homosexuality being the sign of Sodom. It would be against the law for me to say something like that. That's where they're going. That's what they're going to. They want, just like they were trying to force their way into Lot's house. It said they come near to breaking the door down is what the Bible said. And just the same as they were trying to force their way into Lot's house is how they're trying to force their way into the churches today. That's the condition we're in. That's where we're at. Can you see where we're at? It's time to make sure our lives are right and ready and that we're ready to go get out of here. Because it's going to be too late. Once the final clogs start into motion, it's going to be too late then. And when you look around and, you know, friends, the sad thing about it is there is going to be people that will miss the rapture that know people that made the rapture. That's sad, but it's true. And they're going to look around and say, so-and-so's gone. This one's gone. That one's gone. This one's gone. Oh, my. I missed it. It'd be too late then. And you know, I've said here before, I don't want to have a contingency plan. In other words, a plan, well, in case I miss it, I got a plan to do this or that. I don't want a contingency plan. I want to get out of here plan. I don't want to be here during that time. And we never know. We never know just how close it could be in the morning. I don't know. It could be that today would be somebody's last day here on earth. I don't know. We don't have a promise of tomorrow, not a one of us. People go at all ages. So now's the time to make sure our life is right. We've witnessed the Lord coming down here and setting some folks free, delivering them, setting them free from the demons that were controlling their lives. Now all they need to do is just move on in. Move on in and let the Lord sanctify them. Let the Lord, you know, deliverance from the demons ain't the whole thing. That's just a start. Then you need to move in and let God sanctify you. And then after you've been sanctified, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we read last Sunday the promise to the believer that will repent is to be baptized. And once they're baptized, then it said they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, let's do whatever we got to do is what I'm saying. Look at ourselves. Look at our lives. Don't leave anything, well, maybe I'm all right. No, make sure. That's what we preach. Make your calling and election sure. We preached that just a few couple of weeks ago. Amen. Make it steadfast. Now, I hope this message, I knew it was going to be a short one, but I hope it's been a help, especially to those that were not, that didn't really understand some of these things. And why we're looking, why we even listen to Brother Bram's messages. This is why we listen to him, why we believe that he was a prophet. Like I said, go back and hear that message, Watch More of the Night, Part 3 that I preached. It should be online. And listen to that. And in that message, I just went back and looked at my notes this morning. I'd been looking for that message, them notes for that message for some time, and I thought, man, I've lost them. I can't find them. And then yesterday it come to me what title I preached it under. And so I was able to go find the notes. But I just looked at them this morning. And so go listen to that, sermons. And especially you young ones, go hear it again. Even if you was here when it was preached, maybe there was something clouding your hearing that day, you know. Go back and listen to it again. Amen. Know why, there's people that say, well, you're following a man. We're not following a man. And I'll tell you something, friends. I don't agree with those that try to lift Brother Branham up above Jesus Christ. I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with them making the man more important than the message God sent through him. I don't believe that stuff. And I honor Brother Branham, and I sure do love what he done, what he gave for us to be able to have this message, Lord. You know, as I read the other night where it said, if you hadn't went, we wouldn't be here. And we're here because of a man that yielded himself. God could use him as a prophet and bring a message for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, you give me this message the other day, and I was studying through it, Lord. I I didn't know how long it would take or how little it would take or how much time it would be. Lord, that wasn't what was important. What was important was to get this across, Lord, to Father, to where especially the young ones, to see just exactly where we stand and what we're standing on and what we believe. Lord, and why we follow the message of Brother Branham. Why we look to him as being a prophet to this last age. Lord, I pray you'll bless your people this morning, dear God. Bless them with your spirit, Lord. Wash them with the watering of the Holy Spirit now, we ask in Jesus Christ's name.